It was really the first time in my life that I felt like I didn't fit in. I've always been popular, well-liked. I like to think I'm a friendly person and, if I may say, not too bad-looking. I also have an aptitude for math and physics, which, I have to admit, I've generally kept a bit of a secret, at least until now. Declaring my major in astrophysics, I must confess, felt a little like social suicide. But I did take a special delight in the expressions on people's faces when I told them. Even more so when I would show up in an advanced graduate seminar and be the only girl in the room. There's a special thrill I get from beating the guys in the room to the answer, or seeing the professor's face when the cute girl in the sorority t-shirt actually knows her physics. What can I tell you? I'm just interested in how stars work. I mean, who isn't? So, if that means classes in nuclear physics, quantum mechanics, and cosmology, I'm gonna dig in. But, like I said, social suicide. I'm constantly getting tested. Mostly guys in my classes trying to trip me up, make me feel like I don't belong. Make me feel like, how can I put it? Like, I'm not enough of a nerd to fit in. So, when Kevin, one of the guys from my high-energy physics class, asked me if I played D&D, naturally I lied. Of course I do, I told him. Definitely. So he invited me to his gaming group. He told me he was DMing an event tonight. Old school, he said. He seemed unusually serious, especially about a game. He gave me his address and told me to be there at 7, and to bring my character sheet and dice. I smiled and nodded, having no idea what either of those things actually were. But I did have an old Monopoly game, so I pulled a pair of dice from it and got myself ready for a night of adventuring. Maybe it wasn't my ideal night out, but at least it was a way to get these guys to start taking me seriously. When I arrived, I was kind of amazed. Kevin was there with two other guys, and they were arguing furiously about something from Lord of the Rings. I knew better than to mention I'd only seen the movies. I was already feeling like my geek credibility was thin, so I just listened and nodded when it seemed appropriate. Finally, when there was a pause in the debate, Kevin introduced me. "This is Jess, first night with the group. Don't be your usual selves," he said, almost scolding him. They laughed and introduced themselves, David and Quinn, both perfectly awkward. David was the more friendly of the two. Quinn seemed nervous, or maybe just a bit shy. We were waiting on two more members of the party, as Kevin called them, and while we waited, we made small talk and snacked on some chips and ginger ale. When the last two members of the group, Sean and Justin, arrived, we all took seats around the table. Kevin sat at the end, laptop open and facing him on one side, and stacks of books on the other. I read the spine of the book on top. It said, "Monster Manual." And that made me smile. I'm not even sure why. Each of them took out a file folder and from inside pulled out a stack of papers and then produced various bags. Some were leather, others were cloth. One was purple crushed velvet. Kevin asked if I brought my dice and I smiled weakly and put my Monopoly dice on the table. When he asked for my character sheet, I had to admit I didn't have one. Actually, I didn't even know what one was. I sensed a general annoyance in the room, and then I got called out. No, I didn't have a character. No, I had never played D&D before. I came clean. Kevin calmed the room down and excused himself from the table. I sat in complete silence while all four of them glared at me for a bit. I was ruining their game night, and it was rapidly turning into a nightmare. This was social suicide on a whole new scale. I smiled and batted my eyes a bit, hoping to at least invoke some pity, but they weren't having any of it. When Kevin returned, he handed me a small cloth sack and a piece of paper. "Dice and a character sheet," he said flatly. "Now, let's get you set up." There was something unusual about the dice. Apart from only a few of them being six-sided, they felt light. I asked what they were made from, and Quinn gave an exasperated sigh, telling me to just roll them. "We don't have all night," David added, equally annoyed with me. Kevin selected three six-sided die and told me to roll them. As I did, he whispered something I didn't quite understand. I watched as they tumbled onto the table and landed on the numbers 1, 2, and 1, eliciting a few smirks and chuckles from the table. On the sheet in front of me, beside the word strength, the number 4 appeared. It seemed to glow for a moment before fading a bit into the page. I continued to roll the dice. Next, a 5 for dexterity, a 14 for constitution, a 7 for intelligence, which, for the record, I objected to strenuously, an 8 for wisdom, and finally, 3 perfect 6s for charisma. I watched as the last box glowed and faded with the number 18. "I may be dumb in this new world," I thought to myself, "but at least I'm going to be hot." I was told to fill out the top portion next. "Name?" "Aelwyn." I told them they could call me Winnie. Cute, right? "Race?" "Elf, naturally." "Class?" "Princess." I mean, why the hell not? Hot elven princess. That was something I could work with. I handed the page to Kevin for review. He added a few things and handed it back to me. Numbers under the letters AC and HP. Alignment, which now said chaotic good. In parentheses after it were the words free use. And where I'd written princess, he had crossed it out and written in bard. I didn't say anything. I thought I had already taken too much time. Winnie, the hot elven princess, was now Winnie, the hot elven bard. I wasn't sure what that meant, but I figured I could work with it. And then we were off. Kevin dimmed the lights a bit and began to tell a story. A band of 5 adventurers, off to town for provisions and supplies. They were purchasing all manner of food, weapons, armor, items with fantastical names. It was actually kind of cool to listen to. Captivating. Magical. And when it was my turn, I discovered with the gold I had, which wasn't much, I was only able to buy 3 things. Some leather armor, a bag with some basic magical items for casting spells, and a lute. I had no idea what a lute actually was, but this one was enchanted and apparently important for a bard to have in their inventory. And then we were off again. Kevin told the story of how we made our way through the forest, into the darkest parts of it, giving detail to the woods, the trees, the woodland creatures that surrounded us. He was a magnificent storyteller. I found myself getting lost in his words, imagining myself in these far-off magical places. "Finally," he said, "we found a tunnel, and after a few fun word games, the door at the end of it opened to reveal a large, dark cavern. I was no longer Jess. I was Aelwyn, elven princess. Okay, elven bard. And they were no longer David, Quinn, Sean, and Justin. They were warriors and mages, thieves and rangers. Bronwyn, Theron, Chance, and Eldon." Kevin was still Kevin, I guess, but he was running the show. "Aelwyn," Quinn said. "Dancing lights." I wasn't quite sure what to do until David leaned over and whispered in my ear, Just say I cast Dancing Lights. And I did. My very first spell. I was finally able to do something. Be useful. It felt good. Kevin began to describe a room of all kinds of mystical delights. Gold and silver, elaborate tapestries telling tales of great adventures, paintings and carvings. He really was an amazing storyteller. And in the center of the room was a large, blue, glowing crystal. I couldn't help myself. "I enter the room and touch the crystal," I said, taking a bit of initiative. One by one, the faces of each party member turned to a smile, and I looked down at my character sheet. On the right-hand side, at the bottom of the column, one line was glowing. Above it were listings for poison save, spell save, concentration save, death save. But at the very bottom, the one that was glowing brightly said, "Reality save." Kevin pointed to the 20-sided die in front of me, which also seemed to have a faint glow to it now. "Save for reality," he instructed. I picked up the die and let it fall from my hand, watching it bounce on the table. As it did, I started to feel a bit dizzy. Everything seemed to go into slow motion, including the die, until it finally slowed to a stop, landing on the number 4. And all around the room, the smiles on the faces of my fellow adventurers grew larger as my head began to spin faster. There was a flash of blue light, and I found myself standing in a forest, very much like the one Kevin had described just moments earlier. I looked down. The first thing I noticed was my hands, elegant and graceful, with such fair skin. "Moon elf," a voice said. "See, I knew it."
"Lucky guess," another responded.
"So fucking hot," someone added. I looked around and smiled. It was like a dream. I felt an almost overwhelming desire to pick up my lute and sing. As I ran my fingers over the strings, I found myself making beautiful music. "This is so cool," I thought. I had never played an instrument before, and here I was, playing songs without even having to think about it. As I surveyed my surroundings, I could see I wasn't the only one who was transformed. Bronwyn, Theron, Chance, and Eldon. Each of them stood so tall, strong, a bit battle-worn, but sexy. Definitely sexy. I looked down at my outfit. Brown, tanned leather. My top barely covered my breasts, which were a bit larger and more firm than usual. The leather stretched tight, barely containing them. My belly was bare, and across my waist there was another panel of leather, covering me mostly, but leaving my ass almost completely exposed. It wouldn't take much to lift it up and expose me completely. But for some reason, I didn't seem to mind. My feet were covered in small leather boots, which matched the rest of the outfit. "They call this armor?" I joked. Eldon tilted his head and responded,
"What do you expect for a single gold piece?"
He was dressed in armor. A steel chest piece emblazoned with some sort of sigil. Armed with a long sword and wearing a helmet, which he removed as he stepped closer.
"Theron, cast hold person," he called out.
Theron responded, his voice deep and majestic.
"Won't work. Elves are immune."
Eldon smiled at me. "I guess we'll have to do this the old-fashioned way, then,"
I felt his hand take hold of mine, so strong, gripping me tightly, and then he was pulling me down to the ground. I squirmed and struggled, but I was so easily overpowered, unable to even twist my wrists in his grasp. As I felt myself surrender in his grip, I realized I didn't mind a bit. In fact, I could feel myself getting turned on by it, by him, by all of them standing around, watching. He took both of my hands in one of his and pinned my arms over my head. I didn't just let him, I welcomed it. His eyes were like two deep blue pools, and I was lost in them. Features that looked like they were chiseled from stone. Rugged, handsome, strong. With his free hand, he removed his codpiece and freed his already hard cock. His massive, beautiful cock. I felt a wave of desire, passion, and I parted my legs, offering him my elven cunt, beautiful and bare, dripping wet. It slipped deep inside me, and I tensed myself, gripping his cock and trying to hold on to it as he slowly withdrew it from inside me. The next thrust was harder, more deliberate, deeper. Now he was moving faster, fucking me harder now. I could feel him pounding me, taking me, owning me, possessing me. I closed my eyes and began to moan, barely noticing the sensation of a thin leather cord being wrapped around my wrists, another on my right ankle, and then my left. I pulled against the bonds, finding them secured to something in the ground. Hands over my head, legs splayed wide, Eldon's cock thrusting inside me over and over again. Voices and laughter surrounded me. It felt so good and so right, almost as if I was meant for this. I watched as the expression on his face changed from pleasure to absolute bliss as his cock exploded inside me, filling me with his hot cum. Cheers erupted from the entire party, and soon I felt more hands on me, roughly cupping my breasts, freeing them from my leather top, a cock in my mouth, filling it. I wrapped my lips around it and began to suck, each taste of it making me grow more and more hungry. Insatiable. I felt another cock enter my pussy, thrusting deep inside me, filling every bit of me. I suckled and licked the cock in my mouth, feeling it bang against the back of my throat, causing me to choke and gag. The cock in my pussy seemed to be growing impossibly large, spreading me and filling me, every part of me feeling so good. Overwhelmed by the sensations. More cum in my mouth, splashed on my belly and then my tits. So many cocks, all of them hard, beautiful, delicious. Gorgeous men dressed in armor and robes. As the last two pulled away, I found myself squirming, bucking my hips, desperate for more cock. Mouth open wide, inviting them, almost begging them to use me. Soon, my wish was granted. I felt the bonds loosen and hands pulling me up and then lowering me back down. Another cock slipping inside me, this time from underneath me. I rocked my hips and arched my back, feeling it slide deeper inside me, riding him. More hands, pulling my head forward and impaling my face on yet another hard cock, fistfuls of my hair forcing the cock deeper inside my mouth, fucking my face. I parted my lips, swallowing it without hesitation. And now, another set of hands on my hips, pulling me backwards a bit. The tip of a cock pressing against my asshole, slowly growing more firm until it, too, was inside me. Every part of me filled, stretched, hands guiding every movement, like a doll being used for their amusement. I writhed and fucked the cock below me as my ass was pounded from behind, sucking with wanton desire the cock inside my mouth. Almost as if on cue, they all started to pulse in rhythm, swelling, throbbing, and finally exploding in my pussy, in my mouth, in my ass. As they did, I felt a wave of pleasure wash over me, my body convulsing in orgasm after orgasm, my head swimming, my mind reeling, every part of my body feeling pleasure, desire, and arousal. As each man removed himself from my various holes, I watched in a daze. Bronwyn, Theron, Chance, and Eldon, standing over me, smiling, getting dressed and replacing their armor and robes. I looked over at my lute, resting by the tree, and thought to myself, I just have to write a song about this. Slowly I stood up, regaining my composure as best I could. I felt their cum running down my legs, dripping from my pussy and ass, the taste of it filling my mouth. I licked my lips, wanting to taste even more. Chance, the thief, gathered up the leather cords and smiled at me. Oh, that smile. So seductive. You really didn't need to tie me up, you know, I said, flirting a bit. Not that I minded, I added, giggling. He winked at me. I felt a bit of sadness as I started to grow a bit dizzy, once again surrounded by the mysterious blue light. And then I was back at the table, at Kevin's place, sitting, eyes wide, looking around the table at David, and at Quinn, at Sean, and at Justin. Welcome to the group, Kevin said, grinning at me. I swallowed a bit and shifted in my chair, not quite sure what I was feeling between my legs. Was I wet? Aroused? Was I still full of cum? My pussy was aching. My ass felt stretched. I could still taste cum in my mouth. I didn't know what was real and what was fantasy anymore. The room was silent, except for the sounds of Kevin putting away his laptop and gathering up his books. David, Quinn, Sean, and Justin. I could tell they were all waiting for my reaction. I smiled. So, same time next week? I asked. Same time next week, Kevin told me. And now, every week, Jess, David, Quinn, Sean, and Justin set off for a new adventure, and find themselves each time in a different town, castle, forest, or dungeon, with a different quest, but always the same outcome, at least for me. And even though I thought I wanted to be an elven princess, at the end of the day,
I think I'm much happier as a free-use bard.